spoke. The ground gradually sloped downhill, the trees growing denser the closer we got to the river, to the temple. It was there that Clara led me, strands of her blonde hair snagging on branches as we passed, sticks snapping underfoot. I've always known that friendship is a powerful force in young women. In the muddy, tumultuous waters between adolescence and adulthood, those impatient years of not quite independence, we embrace friendship with our whole hearts, whether that's for better or for worse. Any loose bonds without passion, those with old classmates just barely held together with cancelled breakfast dates and belated happy birthday texts, fade quickly, replaced by new friendships that are intense, beautiful, all-consuming. Friendships in this strange, in-between age are more blood-packed than Pinky Promise, living the very best moments of your lives together alongside the very worst. You hold hands and make drunken, fervent vows in the early hours. You would die for each other, kill for each other. In my experience, by the age of 18, every girl knows another girl that she would follow to the very ends of the earth. For me, that girl was Clara Holland. It started to rain, warm droplets running down my face, my arms, my back. When we reached the overhang at the water's edge, in the shadow of the crumbling temple, Clara stopped. Silently, she looked down into the rushing torrent, the shallows choked with reeds and vegetation. She tilted her head, indicating something that I should see. I followed her gaze. There was a body in the water. Chapter 1. It was only through coincidence, really, that I ever became involved with the Goldens at all. At 18, I had a mild anxiety disorder and a fondness for books over people. In maths, science, and art, I was average but hardworking. Yet in literature, I shone. I'd spent 2 years at my shabby, underfunded sixth form being complimented and encouraged, pushed and praised. I would never be a public speaker. I physically trembled whenever I had to read in front of the class, even more so when I was reading my own work. But that didn't seem to matter. My grades were good enough to get me an interview at Dern University, and for me, that was all that counted. I had it all worked out. I'd read English and creative writing with the long-term goal of becoming a prize-winning novelist. For over a decade, I'd imagined myself one day striding through an enormous, glittering city. London, Paris, New York, in a pair of thick-heeled boots, leaving lipstick stains on paper coffee cups, as I sought inspiration for my next bestseller. Later, I imagined, I would settle down at my writing desk, which would sit in the corner of my tiny but cozy apartment, and the words would flow from my pen like water. My interview for Dern was to be over video call, which was a relief for both me and my parents. I was already unsure how I'd afford the train fare there and back every term. I barely slept the night before, as reflected by the bruise-like shadows beneath my eyes. But I knew in my heart that it would all be worth it. I'd taken the morning off so that I could sit at the kitchen table with my laptop while my parents were at work. I carefully angled the screen for the best lighting, filled a glass with water to set beside it, and tried not to let the anxiety buzzing in my veins get the better of me. I was 8 minutes early signing into the meeting room. As I waited for my interviewer to join, I flicked through the Dern prospectus. I was awestruck by the stone buildings, the willows hanging over the chamomile green banks of the river. Every glossy photograph called my name, conjured visions of a new wardrobe that would complement my classical surroundings. Penny loafers and Mary Janes, tweed and houndstooth, white shirts with crisp collars. The academic who I was speaking with signed in at precisely 10 o'clock. She introduced herself as Dr. Huntsman, a poet and poetry scholar at the university. My heart sank. I, a novelist through and through, knew a bit about poetry, but hardly enough to impress somebody who'd committed their life to writing and studying it. I fumbled my way through the answers to her first questions. What was I currently reading? How much of an impact did I think the form